go. All right. Well, good evening. Merry Christmas to everybody. Anybody visitors here this evening? Visitors? Any visitors at all? Awesome. We got all kinds of visitors here. Awesome. Oh, yeah. My sister and my brother-in-law is here. That's awesome. And then over here. Right? Okay, cool. So we have a lot of visitors this morning. Or this evening. Excuse me. Am I good? Okay. So tonight I want to talk about a real Christmas. What does Christmas mean to, you know, us as people, us as Christians, just us as children, as adults? What does it really mean? What is Christmas all about? So before anything, I'd like to go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Then we'll just kind of just jump right into it. That's what I tell my class all the time. We're just going to jump right into it. So anyways, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll jump right in. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this day. And Father, I thank you for the visitors that are here this evening, families and friends. And Father, I thank you for this most special holiday. Father, I thank you for the time that we get to spend with family and with friends, and being able to reflect and share the true meaning of Christmas. Father, I pray that you'll use me as a vessel this evening, Father, and Father, I pray that you'll help me to actually get through this. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start with a verse out of the Bible, or two verses actually out of the Bible, and we're going to start in Luke 3, 10 and 11. I know that doesn't go too much with the Christmas story. It's usually in Luke 2, but we're going to start with this part at least first. And we're going to talk a little bit about what John the Baptist was doing. Basically, there was a group of people, all different types of people, that were gathered around John the Baptist and asked him a bunch of questions. And one of the things that he says is, "What should we do then?" The crowd asked. And then he answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none. And the one who has food should do the same." I believe these two verses hold a lot of truth to what this holiday really means. So we're going to go to actually my Christmas tree, if you could bring that up really quick, Bob. So there's my Christmas tree at home. It's not a whole lot. It's simple, but, you know, there's gifts underneath of it. And a lot of people will look at that tree and will be like, "Wow, you've got all these gifts and all these great things, and your family must be so proud of you, and just must be they just must love you so much because of all the gifts." Well, that's not what it's about. That's still missing the point. There is undoubtedly a lot of gifts at some of y'all's houses as well underneath the tree. And there is undoubtedly a lot of homes that probably don't have a lot of gifts under the tree. But have you ever looked to see how many gifts that your name is actually on? Has it ever bothered you? I know that when I was a kid, there was one time it really, really bothered me. Ran downstairs every single day that I saw the gifts underneath the tree. Every single day I would take them out and I would separate them amongst the names and put them in categories and arrange them. And then I would count them according to the names. And I would do this for like 2 weeks. The first 2 weeks of December were always horrible for my parents, because that's exactly what I would do. I would count the presents because that was important to me. But see, I missed the whole point. There was one day I went to go count all the presents, and my sister, man, she had one more gift than I did. Really, really upset me. So much that I ran into my mother, who was in the kitchen, and she was making dinner for that day and whatnot, and I just come in there screaming and crying. "I can't believe Sissy has one more gift than I do. This is so not fair." And I ran out of the kitchen, ran to my room, shut my door, and I cried the rest of the day. It was awful. There was one more present that my sister had that I didn't have. And I thought, well, that's not Christmas. It should be equal, right? Or I should, you know, I'm the oldest. I should at least get one more gift, right? Again, it's missing the point of Christmas. When I went to my room and I cried, I wasted the time and I wasted really the real joy that I could have had in Christmas. See, because it's not in how many gifts you receive, but it's in what we share with other people. It's not about gifts. It's not about sharing gifts. It's not about sharing anything except your time and your joy. You see, this holiday is the day that we celebrate Jesus' birth. Now, some of y'all probably know Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. It was more like June sometime, I think, if I'm correct. What's that? September. Okay, cool. Maybe I'm wrong then. but that's not the point. The point is, this is the day that we've set aside as Christians that we celebrate Jesus' birth. That's the point, y'all. We celebrate his birth. It's his birthday. And what does he do but give us the joy that we don't deserve, the gift that we don't deserve? There's always been a word that has really stuck with my wife and myself and other people that I know, but it's grace. And what is grace? Well, it's something simply that we don't deserve. It's not ours. It's something that only God can give us. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve to have it. We don't deserve to share it. But God's graciously given it to us. But not only has he given us that grace, he's also given us the joy. The joy that we can have in sharing time with one another. The joy that we can have in spending time with family, with friends, with someone you probably haven't seen in a long time. And the joy that you can have in meeting somebody new, like visitors that come to our service at nighttime. But it's a joy that we can share, and it's unique. It's unique to the real reason. It reminds me of another story. It's about a little girl. She'd never been to a circus before. And one of her biggest things she always wanted to do was just go to the circus. She always wanted to go to the circus, day in and day out. You know, she would see these pictures, these great pictures of big elephants standing on top of these humongous balls and balancing them, and these tamers, the lion tamers that would come out and get in a cage with a lion and tame them and make them sit and make them lay down and do all these great, fantastic things. And of course, there's always the one guy, the man of the circus, and that's the ringmaster. The one guy, he's wearing the nice suit. He's got the tails. He's got the big top hat, right? You know the one that I'm talking about. She's always seen these pictures and all these great movies and these great shows of going to the circus. Well, one day while she was walking down the street, she saw a poster in the store, and lo and behold, sure enough, the circus was finally coming to her town. She was so excited. The tickets cost $1. So she quickly ran home to her dad, and she said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, the circus, it's finally coming to town, and I want to go see the circus, but I need $1. Well, being the good father that he was, he says, "Well, if you work hard and you do your chores, I'll give you $1. Saturday came, and she gets up really super early, raring to go, very motivated, jumps out of bed, does all of her chores, runs around, and does everything her father's asked her to do, and she comes running back to her dad's study and says, "Daddy, I finally finished everything you asked me to do, and I finished my chores as well." As pleased as he was to hear it, he gave her $1. Well, she raced as quick as she could into town to go to the circus. Well, she got there a little early. Anybody ever been in a circus before? Anybody? Right? They always have a parade of all the different animals and all the different entertainers, the trapeze artists, of course, the clowns. And then right there is the ringmaster. Well, she's watching this as they go by on the street. She's the tigers go by, and they're doing their thing with their tamers. She's the lions go by, and they're so tame because of their tamers. They're great handlers. And then she sees the big elephants. And last but not least, there's the clowns being goofy as always. But right after them falls the ringmaster, the man, right? Well, she's so excited, she runs out into the street. She pulls out her folded up dollar, and she gives it to the ringmaster. "Thanks, mister," she says. "That was a great circus." She thought she'd been to the circus. She hadn't been in the circus at all. She had just witnessed a parade of the circus coming into town and getting ready. You see, if we're not careful, we can get so excited and caught up in the parties and the gifts and the presents and the family, and we forget the real meaning of Christmas. The real meaning of Christmas should be close to us so that we don't forget it, so that we don't miss it. See, if we're not careful, we'll get lost in all this celebration. So this holiday, I'd really like to challenge you to not miss it. If we go ahead and look at Luke 2:7. Luke 2:7 says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son." We just read this a little second ago. "And she wrapped him in cloths, and she placed him in a manger, because there were no room for them in the inn." There was no room available. This is the single most important thing about Christmas. The joy of our Savior finally coming, as was promised for years and years and years before him. Something so magnificent has just manifested, and he's finally coming. And then he was born, a miraculous birth. If you look in Luke 2, and it keeps on going, it talks about how the angels came to the shepherds in the fields. And they were so scared. But the angels said, "Don't be scared, for I bring you the biggest news that you're ever going to hear. I bring you the news of a Savior who loves you very much and has been born. He's been born, he's been wrapped in rags, and he's sleeping outside in the cold tonight." There's a Christmas song, and I don't know if it's really a Christmas song much, but you hear it most of the time around Christmas, and it talks about how baby Jesus is shivering in the cold. That doesn't hit you. It hits me every time I hear it. Imagine our Savior coming into this world, and the best we have for him is the cold. Give him your best. Give him your best this holiday, and let's not forget the true meaning of this holiday. And that God wants us to share the gift that he's given us on his birthday, on his celebration day. He wants us to share our joy that he has given us. That's the whole purpose right there. John was trying to prepare the people for his coming. And he says, this is what you must do. If someone doesn't have a coat and you've got two, give it to them. If somebody's hungry, feed them. Reminds me of this guy. I work in D.C. a lot. And right on M Street, right there by the metro station, between 20th and 21st Street in D.C., there's this homeless guy that lives there on the corner. I see him at least 3 times a week. I share my lunch with him at least 3 times a week. And I've never seen anybody so happy to see somebody just because they're pulling up in a work truck. Y'all, I go there and I'm there maybe 10 minutes to share my lunch with him, and then I leave. And in those 10 minutes, it's the best time of my life at work. That's the peak of my day at work. This man has nothing. He's told me a story. I pray for this guy. I pray that he gets off whatever it is he's on. I know he's on something. I pray that he does. But for those 10 minutes, for those solid 10 minutes, I feel a connection to somebody that I can't describe. I can't describe how it feels to share joy. I can't describe how it feels to see somebody light up because a dirty old worker is driving up in his dirty old truck and just giving him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's what he looks forward to. We need to share joy. We need to share that joy that God has given us, because he's given it out to us when we didn't deserve it, when we still don't deserve it. We'll never be able to repay him for that. We'll never be able to give Jesus what he has given us. All he asks in return is that we share it. That's all he asks. I can remember many times when, most times for the Christmas that I've got to share with my daughter and my son, they don't share very well when it comes to Christmas time. They get a new toy and they're not wanting to share it. They're wanting to play with it. They're wanting to take it into their corner or into their room. They're wanting to play with it themselves. And I don't blame them. That's the same exact way I was when I was a kid. But it's in the same way. It's the same exact thing. God's given us something that we need to share. And just like kids, we need to learn to share. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your joy and for your gift, Father, that you've given us. Well, you've given it to us when we don't deserve it. We haven't deserved it. Never could prove that we deserve it. Father, I thank you for sending your son, that he could be born, and that he could be born to, as Winston said, two young adults. Father, I thank you so much for trusting in those two. And Father, I thank you for trusting us with your gift of grace and of joy. Father, I pray that you'll bless the remainder of this evening, Father. And I pray that we'll leave here tonight, Father, with more joy in our heart than we can describe, and more joy that we could share with another person, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.